Okay, I want to speak about why am I so alone, God? Oh, that's why. Okay, well, that's the answer. It's in the question. It comes after the comma. It's God. Okay? And yeah, the trip here on this planet, as my much better half would say, and wiser half would say, is it's alone with God. Okay? Alone with God. Okay? Now that to me is really, really interesting. Okay? Because it seems like they're mutually exclusive. How can you be alone and be with something, someone, etc.? So obviously you're not, okay? But there's something in it also which implies something really important, okay? And that is that you have to do it. You have to do it. You can't do it halfway and have other members of your group do it. You can't have other family members do it, you know, etc., etc. If you take a look at where people seek solace, it's really interesting. They seek solace usually in drink, okay, drug, companionship that goes with that, okay, solace in the family, etc., etc., okay? So it's always as if there's something to recover from. It's always as if there's some hurt there. It's always as if there's some protection needed, okay? But what's the protection that's needed, okay, if you're with God? See, and of course, the way the lower self works is, well, gosh, Dr. Lane, that's exactly why you need protection. You gotta be protected from God, you know? And isn't that what the lower self does, you know? Souls come here and they spend their whole life protecting themselves from God. Lifetime after lifetime after lifetime after lifetime, okay? And we know from the teachings and the astute study, really, of consciousness, is that the lower self wants to maintain hegemony. It wants to be in charge. Okay? And the teachings teach us, of course, that the power is just the opposite. That the power is in surrender to God. Surrender to God. Okay? And yet we fight tooth and nail. We have a civil war going on with that. See, and then the way the consciousness is set up, it reaches out there to support that. You know? Oh, I can't do my spiritual work. What's my husband going to say? Or, hey, you know, this is just like a religion. Or, hey, whatever the excuse is not to progress, see? And underneath it, there's a really strong agenda. And that agenda is, I'm part of the lower worlds, I'm part of basic selves as well, and I'm here to insist upon your reincarnating and reincarnating and reincarnating and reincarnating. I'm here to insist upon your ignorance. Your ignorance is duly rewarded. Okay? And God is a real smart creator. I'm sure he doesn't need my praise, but it's very deserving. Okay? And so, okay, you have this part in the consciousness that extols ignorance, okay? And then there's the other part, spirit, which does what? Just the opposite. Oh, wait a second. I can't foster ignorance. Ignorance is to ignore the spirit that I am. So every opportunity is not for ignorance, but for knowledge, for knowing of the self. Of course, if you walk this path of soul transcendence, it's all about gnosis, coming to know yourself as soul, as spirit. See? So here we are in this situation called the world, okay? And it's very interesting that if you're doctor, lawyer, engine chief, housewife, therapist, teacher, whatever you are, retiree, you'll get support, okay? If you're going through X, Y, and Z, you'll get support, okay? If you're Hindu, Christian, Jew, whatever you are, atheist, you'll get support. Okay? But if you're doing a life devoted to its purpose, which is to come to know yourself as soul, as spirit, the training is just the opposite. Yeah, there's support. You know, the center is here to support you, the teacher is here to support you, etc., etc. But the training is just the opposite. What's the training? But to go inside with the spirit that you are and have the support from there, the learning and the upliftment. So out of validation goes, you know, it's like if you give $50,000, they're not going to put a little plaque with your name on the pew. If you give it to this spiritual organization or so, you're not going to get support. Okay? And take a look at a simple action like that. What have you done? Okay? There are two ways to work it. There's the way of the world. Yeah, I gave $50,000 or whatever it is out there and it got rewarded. Okay? Or working it spiritually as, oh, I tithe or I supported myself. I gave it to the spirit I am. That's my support. Will it be acknowledged? Will it not? It is. On this level, most likely, but I don't seek it because the giving of the money was being of service. And if you're of service with a loving heart, well then guess what? It's acknowledged in the highest of heavens. Okay? And it goes into your account, as it were. Okay? Called light units. This is very different from good karma, etc., etc. Okay? So the training of the spiritual being is to go inside, to be with God. You're alone with God, supported in the strength of the spirit you are. Okay? And now this isn't to say that you're here to be monks or nuns or you all should live in a hermitage, you know, on top of mountains, etc., etc. Not at all. Okay? But we're talking about the inner approach to God. Okay? And a lot of us, when we're working out of the false ego, and that's actually redundant, isn't it? Okay? The ego is, by definition, false. When we're working out of the ego, we tend to equate being alone with being lonely. Lonely. Okay, and if you take a look at a lot of human life, people, particularly in urban areas, they seek to, quote, connect. Okay? Now that's really interesting, because what are you doing when you seek to connect? But you're saying, hey, I'm an isolated being, let me meet up with another isolated being. Okay? And it's ignoring that we are the spirit that we are, and so that we're together in the oneness. You know, it's interesting, if you take a look at Western culture and how we see things in our worldview, and I always like to use the example of medicine, how medicine is practiced. Well, that's it. You have this disease, and it struck you, and it's you against this disease, and we'll give you the drugs, and we'll, that's the army that we have to conquer this enemy. So it's this point of view of the individual in and against the world, as it were. Okay. You know, it's interesting. I was reading something about a high school football team, and it was somewhere out in the Midwest, and they had a lot of Indian kids, Native Americans, and because they tended to be kind of big, they kind of recruited them for the football team. And they did terribly. They stunk. Why? They couldn't get the basic concept down of an individual carries the ball, an individual will throw the ball, that sort of thing. Or you go against someone, you block and you tackle. They just couldn't get that. They didn't understand it. Okay? Because their worldview, of course, is just the opposite. That they're a part of everything, not an individual isolated who goes against other individuals. You know? And that's probably why we value competition so much and the seeming victors of competition. And in this culture, you know, to the victors come the spoils. Of course, the spoils is money, and we always value Wall Street. Okay, but it's a mirroring of what? That we're alone, and we'll seek out our network, we'll build this network who will be just like us, and they'll support us in our stuff, and guess what? We'll have a good, happy life. Except most people around are miserable. Okay? So, to be alone is not to be lonely. See, that's crucial. It's like what this wonderful nun, actually she was a Hermitage nun. She was a hermit. She had, another way of saying that is a cloistered nun. Okay, she had no contact with anybody. Okay, and she lived on the grounds of the nunnery in her own hut. And three times a day, food was left for her, etc., etc. Okay. And as it so happened, she was a very well-educated person and a wonderful, wonderful art historian. And she became a well-recognized authority and got a waiver to leave the nunnery, still be a nun, but leave the nunnery and go around the world lecturing on art history. And she even had some TV shows, etc., etc. She was absolutely delightful, and she had some nice salty language as well. So she was delightful. And I heard her talk about, you know, I don't understand people, and I don't understand why every time they find out that I'm a cloistered nun, they always say the same thing. Oh, you must be so lonely. just don't get it. How can you be lonely when you're all filled up with God? Don't they know that by not having to deal with all this stuff in the world, I've got a real blessing? I can just focus on God. Okay? And I thought that was a really neat statement that she picked up right away, that people equate being alone with being lonely, etc. When, if you're really with God, and you're in the way that, the level that you're working it on, you're filled. It's just the opposite. Okay? And it's true for those who are walking the spiritual path. You're not asked to be a nun, you're not asked to be a monk, you're not, certainly not asked to be cloistered, or any of that stuff, okay? But what you are asked to do is to what? Seek the reference points in spirit, go inside yourself, be with the spirit you are, get the support you need, and acknowledge spirit. See, and there's a simple truth. And if we ignore it and perpetuate the ignorance, then we do lapse into being lonely. Okay, and the truth is that we are spirit, we are soul. Okay, you know, it's like somebody shared with me the other day how, oh, they felt, it's like so alone, and you know, nobody cared about them or anything else like it, okay? And I thought that was really somewhere between farcical and boastful. I didn't know, because you take a look at it, there's a negative inflation. Oh, I'm so alone, no one cares about me or anything else like that. And it ignores that what? You are spirit, God is with you, but what you've done is you've ignored God. See, and that's where the loneliness comes from. See, and this person went on to say also, oh yes, put something in the light, ask spirit something. And spirit said, gave a very direct answer. And this person's response was, I'm not going to do that. Well, who's not caring for you? Who's abandoning you? Well, you are. You're not present with yourself, you see? And when we work out of being outside of our integrity, we've abandoned ourselves. We've abandoned ourselves, and that can make us feel very, very lonely and very depressed. So the strength is just the opposite of what we're taught. The strength is being in your integrity, within yourself, alone with the spirit that you are. That's where you're filled up. That's where you're filled up. Okay, and the whole training is the ingathering of your consciousness, of your spiritual energy, learning to concentrate and focus it and harness it. Okay? Most people, they go, boom, here, and then they go here, boom, and then they go here, boom, and then they're all over the place. And they're running around in circles like a chicken without a head. See, but they don't even get to the other side. I thought that was pretty good. But anyway, and by the other side, I don't mean the other side of the road. Okay? All right, I mean to say the other side of the bridge of consciousness right into God. Okay? You walk that bridge through the inner worlds, okay? And you put your first foot on by taking initiation, and you walk across. You're guided across, but you walk across. See? And it's interesting, the soul walks that with the teacher in the inner worlds, never alone. Never alone. See? But the way the ego is set up, we really believe we are alone. You know, and the ego is set up as your orientation to orient you in time and space. Okay? And Jesus the Christ gave the demonstration of, oh yeah, you want to orient yourself in time and space, this is what happens. The crucifixion. Okay? That's going to be your orientation, you're going to get crucified. Okay? But he also said something else. He said, if you're going to use this illusion of time and space properly, you'll come into your resurrection. You'll be resurrected. Okay? And we know what that means. It means going into the soul body, being established there through the process of initiation into the sound current and entering into eternal life. I was at some gathering a week or two ago, and I was introduced to this couple, and the husband was a professor of something. And we were talking, he was interested in some theological questions. And then he said, could you explain to me something? It's something I've never gotten and I've never understood. You know? What is this Christian sense of the physical resurrection of the dead? And I did explain it to him that, firstly, it's not Christian. It comes out of Judaism, but secondly, it's based on illusion. Okay, that it's not the physical resurrection of the dead, even though the religions do teach it. You know, in Judaism, you're gonna be buried, if you're buried in one particular cemetery in Jerusalem, you'll be carried up first. If you're buried somewhere else, you'll be rolling around in underground tunnels and then lifted up through there. Or if you're in the body, your body will be taken up on a silver cloud. Okay? If you're Christian, it'll be, you know, a similar process, etc., etc. You know, and I asked him, you know, because he was probably my age, so he wasn't that old, but I did ask him, you know, does your body, like when you get up, sitting down, do your knees creak a little bit? Do your elbows, do you want that body? So what good is it going to do you? Okay? And I really explained to him what the resurrection was. But it gets physicalized. And I explained to him why humankind physicalizes things. Okay? Because of our misidentification of who we are. So we physicalize things. Okay? We're very materialistic. This is all there is, time and space. And it's the physical body. Okay? That's all there is. Okay? So if I say to you, oh, you know, God is guarding your comings and your goings. Oh, yeah, well, I'll go stick that thing on my door. That's not what's meant at all. Okay, it has to do with the soul leaving from the third eye. And that soul that takes initiation is able to do that, travel in the inner worlds, and the teacher stands guard. That's what that's about. Okay, but because of the misidentification into the physical, it takes it physically and literally. And the same thing happened with the physical resurrection of the dead. Okay? And so I guess I made a friend for life, because it was the first time that he really understood the whole process. And I explained to him, it's a lot like going into a restaurant and eating the menu. You know? You can't eat the menu, but it represents what's behind it. Okay? Religious rites, they've lost the connection to what's behind it. You know? I mean, I even heard some playwright talk about his great play, and his whole great play consisted of the whole thing with communion is nothing else but cannibalism, because you're eating the body of of God, you know. I thought, oh, okay, there we go again, materialism, okay, or any, the typical atheist response, well, how do you know there's a God? Because you can project anything onto God because you can't see him, okay? See, but what they're saying is you can't see him with the physical eyes, with your physical eyes. You can't see him, okay? And they don't say, you know, I can't see God with my physical eyes, and I'm so materialistic that if I can't see him with my physical eyes, it doesn't exist, you know? See, but the interesting thing to me is that these same people are taking their breaths. They're taking breaths. Well, if you're going to be honest, be honest. Can you see your breath? No. You can't see the air that you're breathing. Therefore, it doesn't exist. Therefore, don't breathe. I mean, come on. Be in your integrity, you know? That's only fair. All right? So, but it has this whole thing, this whole ideation, okay, is all about the materialistic point of view, that the physical is all that exists, okay? And yet we know that the soul, that the spirit is within us. Okay? And that the whole point of God's given us a body is to be with the spirit we are, the soul, which is God. See? No one can do that knowing. No one can have that gnosis for us. Doesn't matter how successful you are in the world. You can't achieve it. You can't have people do it for you. You can't accomplish it. You can't be rewarded it or anything else like that. You have to do it. So there's God's grace coupled with your effort. That's wonderful. This is the best democracy around. It's because any soul can do this. Any soul can do this. It's meant for every soul. And sooner or later, obviously, every soul is going to do it. Because it's God's plan. Okay, but it's every soul is going to do it. No soul is going to do it for another. You know, it's like when a couple gets married and they say, I do, the karma comes in. And one spouse cannot do the other spouse's karma. All you can do is be there in loving support as that spouse goes through its karma. Okay. Now, obviously, if that soul is initiated, it has the potential, if that soul is smart enough to take it, to be worked differently. Okay? the other ways available through grace of having a soul's karma process then is available to souls that haven't chosen into initiation. And that's fine. That's fair. Okay? Just like I haven't chosen to go to medical school. So therefore, I'm probably barred from every operating room in the country. I guess maybe unless I'm going to, you know, sell those gadgets or hip replacements or something, then I could probably do the operation myself. Okay, but I'm basically barred, right? I've excluded myself. I haven't chosen into that, okay? If I had chosen to go to medical school, well, then guess what? I could practice medicine. Okay? I could practice law, whatever it is. Or I could practice accounting. Okay? But I chose not to. So it's the same. It's not better or worse. You know, someone isn't better because they've gone to med school or law school or accounting school, whatever it is. Okay? That's another wonderful thing about spirit, is that all souls are equal. You know, and yet here in this culture, we all strive to be better than someone else, get more attention, be the center of attention, be the most important, have the most status, have the most power. And none of it counts for a hill of beans. Applied mathematics, all that stuff that the world values, doesn't count for anything, okay? So we need to be in our strength with the spirit we are. We need to be in support of ourselves. See? Now, if you take a look at all the times where you felt hurt or a victim or so, what have you done? But you've given your power over. So you've located the nexus of power in the situation outside yourself or in the person outside you, other than you. And you've deprived yourself of your power. Okay? Being alone with God is just the opposite. Is you surrender to the power within and you're in your power, you're in your integrity. And when you're in your integrity, you're with God. You're with God. Okay? It's real simple, okay? So what I'd like to do is conclude with a simple exercise. So we'll call in the light. Lord God, send us your light. We put this time together into your light for the highest good. And just spontaneously let you inside yourself arise either a feeling or a situation or whatever, which to you is always associated with feeling so lonely, so left out, so alone. Okay, and now bring God into that situation by putting it into the light of the Most High, or by asking God to come into the situation. Okay. All right, so the next time you feel alone, in the sense of feeling lonely, and you're trying to connect out there, stop. Stop. Go inside rather than out there. Go inside and be with God. It's real simple. Okay, we'll stop with that. All right, I'll come back in a few minutes and handle some questions if there are.